Hello, my name is Tucker Johnson, and I am your host today as we experience NIMSY Live, where we talk about the latest and greatest in translation, localization, internationalization, culturalization, and all that fun stuff global companies need to delight their international customers. On this program, we like to invite guests to have fun and have some value to add for our audience of globalization professionals. I'm always eager to provide a platform to those with a good story or a good data set. So let us know if there are any topics you'd like covered or guests that we should reach out to for future episodes. If you haven't already done so, go ahead and subscribe, follow, like, whatever platform you are on. We are coming to you live on LinkedIn primarily, YouTube, X, Twitter, Facebook, all of those platforms. NIMSY Insights has a presence across all of those, and each one has a unique message to share about our industry. So I encourage you to go follow those. Today, without further ado, we are talking about multimedia localization and specifically multimedia localization in the age of AI and what it really looks like when you're balancing the pressure to adopt AI with limited resources, high expectations, and the need to protect the human touch. Joining me is Carrie Fisher, Globalization Services Director at Subway. Carrie supports the localization needs of one of the world's most recognizable brands as a team of one, including multimedia training content used by franchises and sandwich artists around the world in international markets. At LocWorld 55 in Dublin, Carrie shared how she uses AI to streamline workflows and scale her impact while keeping business firmly in control of the words, especially when the risks are high. She was joined by a panel of experts, including James Jamison, who moderated the panel, and Tom Bridges from Caption Hub, and Miriam Moyano Reifenrath from Riot Games. Today, we're going to continue the conversation, where automation genuinely helps, where it falls short, and why the right approach isn't simply AI first, but human first and AI accelerated. Carrie, welcome to the show. I hope I got everything there.
You got it. Thank you. Thanks for having me. And Tucker, I wanted to make you feel super comfortable. So, I don't.
My trademark.
Where's your hat?
I love it. It doesn't fit with the headphones.
Otherwise, okay, I messed up my hair. I'll leave it off
to Well, it's good to see you. Welcome to the show. As I was saying in the intro, we just saw you recently in LocWorld 55 in Dublin. You moderated participate in several sessions. You also took part in a session with my colleague Beata.
Yes, I did.
Yeah. So you're a busy gal. But what I want to talk about today is this multilingual or multimedia and AI, and how that works. Really focusing on your part. We can let the other panelists speak for themselves in the transcripts, but really paint me a picture. One woman localization show at Subway. What does it look like? What are you working on? What's your mandate, and why is this a good fit for you?
It's a good fit for me because I really enjoy not only creating a strategy for a company around globalization, but I found that I really enjoy executing it as well. So it's kind of the best of both worlds. Before me, they didn't have anybody. And so it was kind of willy-nilly. And I really like kind of, herding the cats, making a centralized function within the company. And so all the translation and localization can come through one source and get done in a consistent manner. So that was the thing that, got me. I really enjoyed it. And I'm still here after 9 years.
And I was going to say, your tenure speaks for itself, right? So you've seen some changes happen for the organization. And the latest change is this AI. And you were talking at LocWorld 55 in Dublin about this. How did this come about, where this need to implement AI into your work? Well, first of all, tell us about the work that you're doing with multimedia, the training work.
Oh, yeah. So it's really interesting. The multimedia work can vary from e-learning courses to what's new in Subway POS or what am I doing now? Sub-U. So we just kind of rebranded University of Subway to Subway University. And now we have 9 courses about how to use Subway SubU. So, yep, it varies. Sometimes it's we've done an hour long franchisee facing webinar, a Q&A about, I don't know, best practices about pricing or where to put the chips, you know, whatever it might be, that needs to get subtitled as quickly as possible. So it's up to me to get it all done, whether I do it myself or whether I use a mix of vendors or individual linguists. So I have to automate as much as possible. So that's why AI really comes in handy, because I can connect my tools to each other. Obviously AI does the transcript. I just look it over or have somebody else look it over if I don't have time. And then it goes out for translation, but that part is automated.
Well, and so automation AI, but a key distinction here is what we're talking about is training videos, right? We're not talking about marketing videos. We're not getting into
are we? No. Well, okay. Marketing.
Maybe one day.
I don't do the ads. If that's what you're talking about in terms of marketing, I don't do the ads. That's a whole nother ball game that I don't touch. Thankfully, I got enough to do. The e-learning videos and all of the, you know, how to make a sandwich correctly videos that occupies plenty of my time.
And so tell me about, you were joined on stage by some Caption Hub, I remember. So you have a supply chain. I don't want to get into the NDAs and whatever and exposing information I can, but you're working with suppliers on this. You're going to have to, right? With a one woman show.
Yeah.
Right?
So, yeah, it's all about the tools.
So
yeah.
Where does that come in?
Well, the first thing I did when I got here at Subway was onboard tools. You know, back 9 years ago, it was TMS. Now it's called whatever platforms, whatever you want to call it. I have that in place, and I don't mind, you know, obviously I was there with Caption Hub. So guess who I use, you know, Caption Hub.
All right. You said it on me. I didn't want to out anybody.
I think they don't mind. And I don't think I'm going against any NDA that I know of, but yes. And so, you know, Caption Hub has a link to my platform and vice versa. So things can flow back and forth. And that's what I use. It's like I said, it's all about the tools and centralization and setting up workflows so you don't have to do a lot of work, that kind of work.
Well, and for every workflow, for every process, we know that, well, perhaps not everyone, but in my experience, if you manage your life the way that I do, usually if you have a best practice or a workflow, it's because there was a problem at some point and it was a best practice was implemented for a reason. There were lessons learned along the way, right? And yeah. I wanted to ask you about in your, at LocWorld, I remember you were talking about your biggest nightmare project, right?
I just mentioned it too. It's those webinars.
Yeah. So that was it.
Yes. And that's, you know, it's all also about the type of content it is, having to subtitle it, you know, kind of like, I felt like it was redoing the work. So we have to get it out there. We have to put that recording on the extranet for the franchisees to consume who weren't at the webinar live. So I had to come up with a mechanism to do that. And because it's kind of low risk, we don't spend a ton of time on it. Unlike something like how to use our slicer, which needs to be pretty darn correct.
That could be higher risk, right? Otherwise you might end up risking a thumb.
That's exactly right. The finger could be one. I mean, there's enough, I think, security things in place, safety things in place that won't happen. But, yeah. You know, we got to
Well, what I've realized is, as I'm managing my own stuff here at NIMSY Insights, is in the day and age of AI, this idea of duplication of work, because you said I don't want to redo the transcripts. Like, if I have transcripts from the live interpreter, why am I going to redo the transcript? This idea of like I don't want to redo things is kind of going out the window, because things that used to take hours, if not days, can literally take seconds, if not mi or
Yeah,
minutes.
I know.
Right. And so
Great.
it's just fundamentally changing the way that we do things down to the spreadsheet level. So what do I mean by that? I mean, I'm a spreadsheet guy. I'm a project manager. I love me a good spreadsheet with some formulas that auto-update and drop-down field tracking sheets. Love it. But what I'm realizing now, why do I need a spreadsheet when I can just have a trained LLM that knows I'm feeding information into that. It's digesting it and it can feed it back out to me. It's like, oh, is my project on time? Yes. Okay. There you go. Right. And yes, I know there's a response to that. Like, there is a good reason why I can't just do that and I still need spreadsheets. But it's an interesting conversation because it makes us wonder, like, what's next? We're using AI for multimedia training videos now. What's next? What are you going to automate next, Carrie? Right?
What a great question. Yeah. It's funny because I consider myself a late adopter of anything. So it was I'm piloting right now, just AI in general, not necessarily around multimedia, but so yeah, so I don't know what's
Let me
next.
ask you.
What I do, I rely on the vendors. I rely on my vendors and my partners to really go, you know what? You know, we've been working with you for 7 years now. You use these tools. Let's put maybe this process in place and save you some time and money. Thanks.
Yeah. Well, but that was going to be my follow-up question is AI, because this build versus buy conversation is happening. And I know it wasn't part of your talk at Local World, but I'm sure you heard about it,
Oh,
right? So with this build versus buy, it's like my question is, whose problem is this to solve? And by this, I mean everything. AI, evolving in the age of AI, evolving the TMS into an LLM, whatever's going to happen in the next 5 years. Whose job is that? Is it a vendor's problem to solve, or is it the enterprise side's problem to solve? That's kind of like what I've been thinking about, because I see a lot of enterprises wanting to build it out themselves, and I see a lot of vendors have solutions that they're pushing upstream, which is good, which is good.
yes.
Anyways, I'm talking too much.
No, it's okay, because it made me think about the type of company that we are and the type of company that Walmart is. As I
Okay.
understand it, they have built their own
Okay.
and do it themselves, right? They have an enormous amount of content that they have to get translated. Subway is not that way.
Right.
We don't have the whatever, 1 billion words or whatever it was. I remember reading an article about it and I was like, oh my God, So yeah, I mean, if maybe if you have that volume and you have the know-how and you have the team in place to do it, great. I'm a team of one and I am no expert in LLMs or anything technical. I have to rely on my vendors to help me with solutions.
Well, and there's no shame in that, right? Like, that's
Most women, but it is a
as it should be.
shame,
What's
right?
that?
I think that on the enterprise side, I feel like we're the ones that really have to figure this out and say, okay, I don't have the expertise, I don't have the resources, I don't have the time. Why not let the people that do this for a living help you figure this out?
Yeah.
Pilot, I'm a piloter. I pilot the heck out of things before I onboard them. My vendors will tell you that. Because I want to make sure that it works. I can't trust anything to AI alone.
Yeah.
And I don't. Everything customer facing, franchisee facing, or even really internally facing, I still use people. Maybe AI does a first pass, but I have to have somebody look at it. I have to have my linguists look at it.
And so are you're working with linguists through a vendor too, or are you directly, do you have direct linguists that you're working with?
I do. I do. I have several individual linguists, again, that have been with me, sometimes one of them for, I don't know, 5 or 6 years now.
And going back to what you were saying, like, I like that comparison that you made between Subway and Walmart, right? Like, two different things. Like, it's very hard to have these conversations. And welcome to my world. And, you know, cry me a river.
That's hard.
It's hard to be a consultant, and where it's hard to publish. I would say this is why NIMSY does a lot more consulting, I would say, than market research that we publish publicly, because it's very hard to, like, write about something that's applicable to everyone in our industry. Because what's applicable to Subway might not be applicable to Walmart. And it makes sense. Walmart has very, very different needs. At that scale, you absolutely need AI. If you have the luxury of not having, you know, you have 20 ingredients that go in your sandwich instead of 20,000 products on the shelf, then heck yes, you know, hire a translator to do it right. You know, really that personal touch, right?
Yeah.
So there's no right answer
here. No, there isn't. That's the whole point. Yeah.
And I would hesitate. At some point, someone's going to come up with, and hey, it might be NIMSY, right? This, like an AI maturity scale or something. And it's like, what I don't like about metrics like that is it forces everyone into a predefined outcome. Like, you will be adopting AI. Otherwise, you're lame and not cool, and you can't sit by us at lunch, right? I mean, that's kind of what it comes down to. But, I mean, why? Why does the local school district who translates, you know, well, maybe that's a bad example. That would be a really good AI use case, I would say. But it's like, not everybody. Why does the boutique, you know, marketing firm need to use AI? Yeah, they don't, right? Not yet.
It's true.
Yeah.
I mean, if AI can help them generate ideas, mm-hmm. great. You know, when we come up with a new concept or a new sandwich or a new loyalty program, which happens quite a bit, we have to figure out how we're going to present that in different markets. And it's really fun, I think, to come up with that. And it's a combination, right, of AI and human beings. You know, what would MVP rewards look like in, you know, Quebec or Germany? Because, you know, most valuable player doesn't really work anywhere else. And so it's people and AI working together to figure out what's the best, the most fun, and what captures the essence of that concept in English into other markets.
Yeah. And this idea of people and AI working together, and in my experience, is AI has been a very, like, grassroots empowerment movement, I want to say. And what do I mean by that? I mean, like, it's really empowered the project manager class, or, you know, that below, not the VPs. We're not talking about the C-suite. The C-suites are the one, they're talking about AI. They're loving the idea of AI. But I have yet to see any, like, meaningful and, like, good return on investment, full company implementations of AI. Right. And people are going to trash me in the comments. They're going to say, what about this? What about this? But hear me out. Where I've seen AI really make a difference is on the individual level, by helping the junior project manager write a better email. Right.
Sure.
By helping the solutions architect, you know, fix their code that they're desperately trying to fix. Right. Yeah. And these are all things that are done, like, without a mandate from above. It's just people adopting AI. And that's where I've seen kind of the magic happen. I don't know. Might just be me, though.
No, it's, I, like you said, I think it differs between companies. So if you saw the panel at Loc World or saw the transcript, our CEO said, if you're not, and he's Irish, so I can imitate his accent. If you're not using AI, leave the room. So from a Subway standpoint, they have implemented from the C-suite down, or, and vice versa. I mean, we were all using AI kind of without, not consent, but we didn't have a policy. We do now.
Yeah.
And we had a couple of key, you know, people who showed others how to use it and how it was useful. And because we have a lot of disparate systems, a lot of programs that don't talk to each other.
Sure, sure.
So we grab data from this database, that database, and this database, and then spreadsheet hell came into play. And well, now AI does this for us and it formats it for us. It, you know, I'm saying us, I don't use it in that way, but my managers do, you know, because they're the head of operations. So it's saved a lot of time, headache, energy, and it looks better, you know, than we could do ourselves.
Even if I'm a translator. No, I'm not going to talk about translation. I don't want to make a statement about translation and AI. But as a writer, because I may not be a translator, but I write content, right?
Yes.
I need to be using it now. Mm. It's like I can't. I was just talking to a colleague of mine yesterday. We've known each other for a long time, and you know, old solutions architect. We've worked on many proposals together, and I was saying how. Did I used to write 50-page proposals from clickety-clackety-clickety, staying up at night? You know, I don't remember. That was so long ago. That was a dark and distant time. That was the Wild West, right?
Now, yes.
First pass AI, is it awesome? No, it sucks. I have to rewrite the whole thing. But it gets me started. It's part of my process.
Yeah. I think it's great for generating ideas. I really do. Oh. If I can go off topic, I'm using it to. So I'm.
The president. This podcast is all about off topic.
good. So I'm the president of my homeowners association. So my HOA.
Yeah.
And you know, our covenants restriction, our CC&Rs are from 2017, and since then the Idaho Code of Statutes has been updated, and we can now have flags and political signs, which, you know, the CCRs didn't have. We got to update those, and it's a daunting task. Guess who's doing it for me? AI. Because it can go out and research, okay, what has Idaho updated in the last 9 years or 19 years? And so it does it for me. So it's the use of AI, I think, has just been, I don't know, super helpful. I know people are anti-AI, and that's okay too. We need voices from everywhere.
Yeah, really. I think so. I mean, because right now I still feel we're still very much in the negotiation phase of, you know, as a society, as a global society, right? Mm-hmm. Like, this is a new technology. It's going to have ramifications on everything from geopolitics to the price of milk. Literally, it's going to affect everything. Right.
Yeah.
So I feel like we're still very much in that discussion phase or debate phase, if I want to be a little bit more aggressive. And that's why it's great to, you know, read transcripts and go panels like yours, you know, people talking. I don't think there was a lot of debate, you know, in your, but we need those conversations.
Yes.
So, what's the next conversation? Are you speaking next time at Local World, or are they putting you on the bench? I have no, I'm not included on the
oh, gotcha.
Agenda.
I thought this was a lead in. No. So I'll be.
No, I'll be it's a lead in for you. I'm opening the door for you to plug your next speaking engagement.
Yes, so I'll be at Local World in Vancouver, talking about teams of one.
Awesome.
Yeah. And how to get it done. And then I'll also be at ALC in San Diego in September, talking about, language companies or whatever we're calling them now, you know, still need to hear from the client side and what we're doing, our expectations. How do we choose a vendor? I mean, the basics, right? We're all trying to survive in this thriving ecosystem. So again, we need as many voices as possible.
Awesome. Well, with that, I think we can wrap this at half an hour today, Gary, if that's okay with you, because speaking of Local World, exhibit sales just went on sale 25 minutes ago. So they're clamoring at the door to get in there. So I've got a busy day today. Gary, always good to talk to you.
You too, Tucker. Good to see you.
Thank you so much. I'm going to take us out here. Ladies, gentlemen, chat, thank you for your time today. It's been my pleasure to lead you through this NIMSY Live experience. If you enjoyed this experience, join us next time tomorrow when I'm going to be doing, so we have kind of a double feature this week. I'm going to be doing another one tomorrow, and I think maybe one on Thursday, too. We're going to get this going again. I appreciate our guest today, Carrie Fisher. I appreciate my colleagues here at NIMSY Insights doing all the hard work so that we can have these interesting conversations. And finally, I appreciate you, the audience, who are joining us live today. And I look forward to next time. Cheers.